the entirety of Lent, we're going through a series called It's All About Jesus, focusing on Him, and this morning we're going to continue that. But before that, I'm going to share about a hobby of mine. One of my hobbies, something I enjoy doing, is reading. And some of you may enjoy that, some of you may not. But there's a certain type of book I'm drawn to. There's a particular genre that I enjoy. And to give you an idea, a sense of what kind of books I read, I'm going to give you a selection of books I've read over the past few years. I have Ministry and Money, A Guide for Clergy and Their Friends. Sounds like a real doozy. How to Understand the Bible. Dinner Church, or Welcome to Dinner Church. Not a Fan, Becoming a Completely Committed Follower of Jesus. Excellence in Teaching with the Seven Laws, A Contemporary Abridgment of Gregory's Seven Laws of Teaching. And Life Together, The Classic Exploration of Christian Community. So based on that selection, you can probably guess that I like reading kind of instructional books. I read books with the purpose of learning. I read books that I analyze, that I study, and that I come away with something I can apply to my life, somewhere I can grow, somewhere I can be better. And those are the type of books I like to read. But about 8 months ago, I had a very close spiritual friend of mine give me this book. It's called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. And this book is the incredible story of Hudson Taylor, a man who devoted his life to sharing the gospel with the unreached people of China. And as a result of his actions and the work of those he trained and mentored, millions were saved in China. This is not a book to be studied and analyzed. This is a book to read and simply be inspired and amazed by the story it contains. Different from my instructional books that I like to read. In the passage that Dave read earlier from John, Jesus is talking to those who study the scriptures. They meticulously examine the scriptures, they systematically study the stories of God, and yet it seems that they miss that it's all about Jesus. He says to them, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you find eternal life." Can I get my next slide there? There we go. "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you find eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me." I don't know about you, but when I read the scriptures and when I come to the stories of Jesus, I have a tendency to read them like my instructional books, where I come and I look for the life application point. I look for what I can learn. I look for this moral, this teaching point, this lesson to take away from it. And in all of that, I sometimes miss that there's stories about Jesus. And so going with this theme that it's all about Jesus, we're going to step back. We're going to forget about coming with this idea of, you know, what can we learn? What can we take out of this? What's the moral of the story here? And we're just going to say, this is a story about Jesus. Now, I recognize that this is not my normal preaching style. I normally take a passage, we look at it, and we look for the teaching point. We look for the moral of the story. We look for the Christian life application point. And so in preparation for this, I felt very uncomfortable because this is not what I'm used to. Because I'm just telling the story of Jesus this morning. And I almost felt like maybe that's not enough. I need to do more than that. But and again, I just felt led that it's all about Jesus. Let's go through the story of Jesus. Let's look at Jesus. Let's not get caught up on what we can take out of it, but let's just look at the story of Jesus. We're going to do this through the book of Mark, the entire book of Mark. And I'm going to use the headings in Mark as kind of a guide as we jump through. Before we do that, let's pray. God, open your word to us. Let us fall in love with Jesus. God, we repent of the way that our search for knowledge in the scriptures has caused us to miss the stories of you. God, open the eyes of our heart. We want to see you. Open our heart, open our ears, open our eyes. Speak to us through the life of your Son, Jesus. Let us be amazed and inspired by the story of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. So starting at the beginning of Mark, Jesus begins his ministry with a simple proclamation. He says, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." One day, as he's walking along the sea, he sees Simon and his brother Andrew, and they're fishing. And he calls them and says, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they drop what they have. They drop their nets, and they come, and they follow Jesus. As Jesus continues, he goes a little farther, and he sees James and his brother John with their father Zebedee in the boat, and he says to them, "Come, follow me." And immediately, they drop their nets, they leave their dad, and they follow Jesus. They then went to Capernaum, and Jesus began to teach. And he's teaching in the synagogue, and the people are amazed at the authority of his teaching. And while he's teaching, there was a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit. And the impure spirit recognized who Jesus was, and he cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus responded, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And immediately the demon came out of the man and left him, and all the people were amazed. This clicker's not working very well. That's okay. If you see that the next slide correlates with what I'm talking about, you can just jump to the next slide. If not, we'll just keep going through this. So, after this, later that evening, many people from all around brought their sick and the demon-possessed to Jesus, and he healed them, delivering people from their illnesses and from the impure spirits. Very early in the morning, Jesus got up and left, and he went to a solitary place to pray. Later, his disciples went searching for him, and when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus said, "Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to another village so that I can preach there as well, for that is why I have come." A few days later, Jesus again entered Capernaum, and the people were gathered in such large numbers that nobody could get to him. The house was packed. Outside the house was packed. People were hanging in the windows. Huge crowd. And there came men bringing a paralyzed friend to Jesus. And they couldn't get in, so they went up to the roof, and they dug a hole, and they lowered the man to Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he looked at the man and said, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, there were some teachers of the law and Pharisees there, and they began thinking to themselves, "Who is this guy? How can he say, 'Your sins are forgiven'?" But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say to this man, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But to show you that the Son of Man has authority to do both, Jesus said to the man, 'Take your mat, get up, and walk.'" And this paralyzed guy got up, took his mat, and walked out of the house. Another time, Jesus was at the synagogue on the Sabbath, and the people were watching him very closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. There was a man there with a shriveled hand, and Jesus called the man and said, "Stand up in front of everyone." And then he asked the people, "Which is lawful to do on the Sabbath? To do good or evil? To save a life or to take a life?" Nobody dared respond to him, and so he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And so the man with a shriveled hand stretched out his hand, and it was completely restored. And then the Pharisees went to plot how they might kill Jesus. on a later time in the evening, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat and headed across the lake. All of a sudden, a storm, a ferocious storm, swept upon them. The boat was tossed in the waves. The waves began to swamp the boat, and the disciples came to Jesus, who was sleeping in the stern, and they woke him and said, "Don't you care if we drown?" Jesus got up. He spoke to the wind and the waves, said, "Peace, be quiet, be still." And the wind and the waves died down. And the disciples were terrified. And they said to another, "Who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" They went across the lake and got out of the boat. And there was a man possessed by impure spirits who lived among the tombs. He would often cry out and cut himself. And when he saw Jesus, he came to him, fell on his knees, and cried out, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." There was a large herd of pigs on a nearby hillside, and the demons pled with Jesus to allow them to go into the herd of pigs. So Jesus gave them permission, and they left the man, went into the herd of pigs, about 2,000 of these pigs, stormed down the steep embankment and into the lake and drowned. When Jesus had crossed over to the other side of the lake, one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came to him, and he pleaded with Jesus, saying, "My daughter is dying. Come, lay your hand on her that she may be well." So Jesus followed Jairus, and as they were going to his house, there was a large crowd following him, people pressing against him on every side. And in the crowd, there was a woman who had suffered a bleeding problem for 12 years. And she thought to herself, "If I can only reach out and touch his garment, I will be healed." And as she reached out, she touched his clothing, and immediately she was healed. Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" His disciples said, "Come on, Jesus. There's a bunch of people around here. Everybody's touching you. It's ridiculous for you to ask, 'Who touched me?'" But the woman, knowing what had happened, came forward on her knees before Jesus and told him what had happened. He looked at her and said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. You are free from your suffering." While he was still talking, there was news that came from the house of Jairus, whose daughter was dying, and they came and said, "Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore." But Jesus overheard them, and he said, "Do not worry, but have faith." As they proceeded to the house of Jairus, when they got there, there was a large commotion, people wailing and crying, and Jesus said, "Why all this commotion? Why are you mourning? She is not dead, but merely asleep." But they didn't understand him, and they laughed at him. So Jesus took the disciples that were with him, cleared everybody else out of the house, took the father and the mother to the place where the daughter was lying, and he went and he took her hand and said, "Little girl, get up." And this little girl who was lying there dead got up and started walking around. Sometime later, Jesus went teaching from village to village, and he took his 12 disciples and commissioned them, giving them authority to preach the word, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. And so he sent them out two by two, and the disciples went out, and this is what they did. They went from village to village, they preached the word with authority, they preached this message of repentance, they healed the sick, they cast out demons, and they came back and they reported all of these things to Jesus, all they had done. And then they retreated with Jesus to a solitary place. But the crowd, seeing where they had gone, followed them, and Jesus, seeing the crowds, had compassion and began to teach. It began to get late in the day, and the disciples said, "Send the people away so they can go get something to eat." And Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." The disciples thought this request was ridiculous, and Jesus said, "How much do you have?" And they found that they had 7 loaves, and so Jesus, they had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and so Jesus took the loaves and the fish, lifted them to heaven, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples to distribute. And there was a crowd of about 5,000 men, not including the women and children, and everybody ate and was satisfied, and there was food left over. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get in a boat to cross over the lake while he dismissed the crowd. He then went up on a mountain to pray. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the water. Jesus walking on water, and he's about to pass his disciples in the boat, and they see him. They think it's a ghost, and they're terrified. And Jesus looks at them and says, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." During those days, there was another large crowd of about 4,000 people, and again, they had nothing to eat. And again, Jesus took what they had, offered it to heaven, gave thanks, gave it to the disciples to distribute, and everybody ate and had their fill. And there was food left over. This is just an incredible story of Jesus. All right, continuing. So, when it came time for the Passover celebration, jump ahead a little bit. So, later, they came to Bethsaida, and the people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him and heal him. He took the blind man outside the village, and he spit on the man's eyes, put his hands on them, and then said, "Do you see anything?" The blind man said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking around." So Jesus put his hands on him a second time, and his sight was restored. At a later time, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him onto a high mountain where they were alone. And all of a sudden, Jesus was transformed before them, and his clothes shone like bright light. And then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appeared there with him. And the disciples were terrified. Peter was so terrified, he didn't know what to say, but that didn't keep him from saying anything. And so he suggested, "Why don't we build little tents for each of you guys? Why don't we build a shelter, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus?" Then there was a loud voice that came from heaven saying, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." And then suddenly they looked around, and nobody was with them except Jesus. One time when they were in Jericho, they were leaving the city, Jesus, his disciples, a large crowd, and there was a man named Bartimaeus by the side of the road, and he heard this large crowd passing, and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. And so he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowds tried to shush him and make him be quiet, but he only cried out louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus heard him and said, "Call him." So the crowd said, "Bartimaeus, get up, go to Jesus." Bartimaeus went to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And Jesus healed him. His sight was restored, and he began to follow with the others, follow Jesus. Sometime later, when it came time for the Passover celebration, Jesus and his disciples entered the city. Jesus was riding on a donkey, and the people received him as king. They were laying down their cloaks, laying down branches, waving branches in the air, and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they're shouting these praises to Jesus as he enters in this triumphal entry into the city. About a week later, Jesus was praying with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas comes with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs, and they arrest Jesus. Jesus is taken before the Sanhedrin. He's put on trial. He's falsely accused, and he doesn't respond to these false accusations. But the high priest says, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" To this, Jesus responds, "I am." At this, they were angered, they were infuriated, and they condemned him to death. And then Jesus, the Son of God, who had left his home with all of its glory and splendor in heaven, he had humbled himself to become a man. He humbled himself even more to become a servant of man. he now humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. He laid down his life that we may experience true life. He bore the sin of the world that we may be free from sin. After hours of hanging on the cross, suffering the agony and the physical pain, he cried out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" After this, Jesus breathed his last, and he died. When the Sabbath was over, some women went to the tomb where Jesus' body was laid, and they went there to anoint him. But when they got there, the tomb was open, and the body was gone. They saw a man standing there, clothed in white, an angel of the Lord. And the angel said to them, "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene. He is not here. He is risen." Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death, and he reigns forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the story of Jesus. This is the story of Jesus that we encourage you to encounter throughout Lent. We've been encouraging you to read through the Gospels. And don't feel bad if you come to the Gospels and you don't have a devotional to lead you through. You don't have points to pull out of the story. Just read the story and be amazed by who Jesus is. What we've gone over this morning, we've seen Jesus raise people from the dead, walk on water, heal the sick, cast out demons, restore sight to the blind. I think we skipped over him giving, restoring hearing to the deaf and speaking to the mute. He feeds the 5,000. He sacrifices himself for us, and he rises to life again. This is an incredible story. And my encouragement this morning is, let's not miss the incredible story of Jesus because we're trying to read the Gospels like my instructional books. Be okay with just reading the story of Jesus and falling in love with him.